This podcast was created by Dr. Scott McLeod, Assistant Professor at the University of Minnesota and Director of the UCEA Center for the Advanced Study of Technology Leadership and Education, also known as CASEL. More information about Dr. McLeod and CASEL is available at the end of this podcast. This podcast is a presentation I did called The Blogging Administrator. I delivered this presentation on December 5th, 2006 at the TAI State Educational Technology Conference in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Welcome everyone to The Blogging Administrator. This is a session about administrators blogging. Just a little bit about me. My name is Scott McLeod. I'm a professor at the University of Minnesota. I presented yesterday at the lunch presentation where we talked about legal issues related to cyberbullying, MySpace, etc. That was super fun. So the first thing I want to point out is that you can download all of the materials for this presentation at this web address, so you may want to jot this down. I'll show it to you again at the end when we're taking questions, but I'll give you just a sec if you want to not jot this down now. And there'll be a variety of resources related to this presentation that you may want to access later on. So thank you very much. No, just leave them there. That's fine. Okay. So and you could borrow one of those. So they are going to work today. So does anybody want a clicker that doesn't have one? Anybody need a clicker? You need a clicker? So, okay. So for those of you in my lunch presentation yesterday, I just explained, we handed out 40 of these little clickers and could only get 5 to work. And, of course, I figured out this morning that it was complete user error on my part because I hadn't registered the rest of the clickers. So I was only looking for 5. So that was sort of embarrassing. Gentlemen, if you'll grab one of each of the 3 handouts on the back, that would be great, and I'll come around and bring you a clicker. Okay, so at the University of Minnesota, I direct a center called CASEL. Now, the full name for CASEL is the Center for the Advanced Study of Technology, Leadership, and Education. That's a real mouthful, which is why we just call it CASEL. We are the only university center in the country that's dedicated to K-12 technology leadership issues. So although we do some work related to teachers and students, most of our attention is paid to administrators, principals, superintendents, district tech coordinators, media specialists, teacher leaders, building level technology integrationists. Those folks who are in leadership positions related to technology and who are trying to lead the way and may or may not necessarily be in the classroom. We offer 15 credits of graduate coursework. We created the first graduate program in the country based on ISTE's National Ed Tech Standards for Administrators. And we draw people from all over the country for that program. We then took our model curriculum and we gave it away to 15 other universities as part of our post-secondary partnership program because we didn't want to be the only island in academia actually focusing on the tech needs of administrators. And we provide lots of resources for K-12 leaders. So one of the projects that I'm going to talk about today and really the focus of this session is our new principal blogging project, which I'll explain more about later and which you got information about on a little purple handout. We also offer a variety of data-driven decision-making resources because we know that's hot for people right now, including our widely visited school data tutorials website, where we're trying to help educators gain more control over the raw data that they have to work with rather than being dependent on paper reports. We created the first psychometrically validated assessment of principals' technology leadership skills, and so on. So you can go to our website and find out more about that. Okay, it's clicker time. Grab your clicker. Hi, Nancy. So my guest is here. You'll be hearing from Nancy later on. So grab your clicker. And the question is, does your principal blog, yes or no? So if your principal has a blog, push 1 for yes, 2 for no. Just aim it at my laptop up front. We'll get your responses. Notice that we're rapidly climbing 20. For those of you yesterday, we noticed we can never get above 5. So I've got it set up correctly today. All right, we've heard from about 23, 24 of you, and I'm not sure how many of you are in the room, but that'll be close. And here's our answer. 96% no, 4% yes, which means probably one of you has a principal who's blogging. Okay, let's ask this. How about a teacher? Do you have any teachers in your school who are blogging? Yes or no? Click the little buttons. We're up to 21, 22. The bar's up top. You can't really see those numbers, but I've heard from most of you by now. And we'll call time. And you can see that 55% said no, 45% of you said at least one teacher that you're aware of is blogging in your building. Now here's a fun question for you. Are you blogging? Yes or no? Either professionally or personally or whatever. super fun. Okay, I've heard from most of you, and the answer is 78% of you no, about a fifth of you said yes. Okay, that now concludes the clicker portion of our presentation. So, but I wanted to get us a little background in terms of our scenarios. A couple of you who are blogging, anybody just want to volunteer about what you're blogging about? Yes. Okay, so you're blogging about the startup of the charter school. Okay, great. What else? Anybody else? Yes.
Staff development updates.
Okay, so who's your audience?
39 school districts that are registered.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, and who within those districts is visiting your site? Do you know?
Right now, administrators.
Okay.
Coordinators.
Okay, great. And how about you? Who's your audience? Oh, just you, okay. Okay, so you haven't released it to the public yet. So. Gotcha, okay, gotcha. Anybody else blogging, real quick, just want to share your experiences? What are you blogging about? Who's your audience? Anyone else? Yeah. Oh, uh-huh. Okay. Great. Good stuff. Well, as you know, blogs are taking off. And one of the big areas in which blogs are starting to catch some attraction is within the classroom. So one of the things I'd like you to do is I'd like you to turn to your neighbor for a minute. Just talk about why might a teacher have his or her student's blog within the classroom. So talk about that for just a minute. Okay, let's call time. Let's call time. All right, back up front. Back up front. All right, you're going to help me create this presentation. So let's just jot down a couple quick ideas that we had. So somebody throw out one reason we might have students blog. Fire away. To share information. To find blogging. So where you're using a web blog tool to post stuff to the web. There may or may not be. You might be posting out or you might be inviting comments and having conversations. So it could go either way. Okay, so I heard to share information. About what? Okay. What's another reason we might have students blog? Now you guys had a lot to talk about a minute ago. What? Answering questions. Okay. What else? Creative writing. We'll talk a little bit more about that. Yeah, just quickly. Okay, cool. All right, what else?
Asking questions.
Okay, good. Gives them a chance to ask questions. What else did we talk about? Okay, great. Any more? Any more you want to throw out there? I'm sorry, what? Cooperative learning projects. Okay, great. All right, that's probably enough for that one. Let's go to, here's my cursor. Let's talk about teachers. Turn to your neighbor again and talk for a minute about why might a teacher blog? Okay, why might teachers blog? What value would they get from that? Thank you. right, let's come back together. Let's come back together. Here we go. All right. All right, let's articulate some reasons why teachers might blog. And trust me, we're getting somewhere with this. So, fire away. Okay, so give me one. I don't care. Okay, clean this up later. What else? Ooh, mentor, mentee. Okay. What else? What? Yes. Okay. Great. What else? Okay, good. I'll add to that venting. Okay. Anything else you want to throw out there? Okay, so kind of a group blog, maybe, where they're all working together. Anything else we want to throw in there? I got another slide here we can add to. That second slide scared you, didn't it? All right, well, let's go to the topic du jour then, which is, what are some benefits that a principal might derive from blogging? So turn to your neighbor and talk about that for a second. All right, let's come back. Let's come back. See, now your tongues and brains are loose. You're ready to roll here. All right, what are some benefits a principal might derive from blogging? Somebody throw one out.
Communication with staff.
Okay, communication with staff. Okay. What else? I'm sorry, shortening faculty meetings. Okay, what else? Communicate with parents. Like I said, I'll clean this up later. Okay. Good. Prospective parents. I'll know what that means later. Okay. What else? Other benefits to principals blogging. Ooh, modeling use of technology. That'd be nice. Okay. What else?
Marketing.
Cool. Yep. Okay, good. What else?
It can be more timely than
good. Okay. Good. So leveraging the power of the blog. Okay. What else? Okay. We're off to a good start. Let me articulate what I think are 12 concrete benefits that a principal might derive from blogging, and I'll put yours back up on the screen. You can see how much we overlap. For those of you, most folks familiar with blogs, you know how they work. Sort of, they're kind of like sending an email, except when you send the email, it goes to the web page instead of to somebody else. And it's about that simple. You type in a little subject, you type in the body, you can format it with bold and italic if you want, and you hit send, and it goes to the website instead of to whoever you're sending the email to. Pretty much how it works. Okay, so they're real nice for dashing off short missives, so you know they don't have to be long and lengthy. They can be just a couple sentences or a couple paragraphs, and you can dash them out pretty quick, like an email. The nice thing, of course, is then once they're up on the web, they're searchable, they're archivable. You can go back and see old ones You can turn on comments if you want, so people can comment on your post, and you can start having conversations about certain things. You can actually solicit questions and try to get answers from folks, etc. So, 12 concrete reasons why I think administrators might benefit from blogging. Number one, I'm sharing, I actually have this on a slide, I don't know what I'm doing here. So, sharing news and events. So, you know, posting quick news items for the school communities like you would see in a newsletter, everything from special events, recent awards that were won by students or staff, classroom highlights, reminders, lunch menus, extracurricular activities, deadlines, whatever. Any other kind of newsletter type items, they're extremely well suited for blogs. They're a quick and easy way to keep school communities informed. Number two, progress monitoring. So for example, let's say you have some kind of new initiative, like you're starting up a charter school, or you're building a new building, or you're implementing a new reading curriculum, or whatever. They're a nice way of sort of keeping people notified about sort of school initiatives that are ongoing. Regular posts to update stakeholders in terms of the progress of those activities. You're trying to build goodwill, keep community members informed. Number three, status alerts. This is like, okay, I'm going to go to the school website to see whether or not school is delayed for an hour because of snow, for example. So a blog, if you have your parents and your kids trained to go visit your blog, that would be a great place to just throw up there, okay, no school today, or we're delayed 2 hours, or, you know, we're getting out early today because the wind is so bad, or just any kind of quick message around a short-term problem, event cancellation, etc. Everybody just knows to go to the blog for the latest news. Number four, marketing, as we mentioned here. So they're faster, they're less costly than paper communications. You would save a ton from whatever paper newsletters you're doing. Notice that websites are fairly static. It's much harder for us to keep websites up to date and current than it is for a blog, which by definition is current the instant you send something to it. They're also static, they're non-interactive. So from a marketing standpoint, blogs can go a long way for you because they can be more timely. You know, I think about my kids' school where they send newsletters home once a month. Well, sometimes they're writing about stuff that's 2 weeks ahead. Sometimes they're writing about stuff that's 2 weeks behind. And honestly, that stuff that's 2 weeks behind is no longer really relevant for any of us. And yet it's occupying that precious space and that formatting and the time and the paper, etc. So if you do mark blogs well, they can create buzz, they can create loyal customers, etc. And one of parents' biggest criticisms of school is that their schools don't communicate enough with them about that. And blogs can be a great way to publicize a lot of the great things that are occurring in schools. Public relations, it's a great way to bypass sort of local media and reach directly to your audience. So if you're trying to reach your parents and reach your stakeholders about the good things that are happening in your school, if you're trying to control spin on some event that's happened, or you're trying to get your say about something rather than relying on the local newspaper or the local television station, blogs can be a great tool for public relations. Also, they can be an excellent tool for facilitating community building within an organization, whether you're serving an internal audience or an external audience. If you enable your comment features and you start having these conversations around interesting and important topics, then you can sort of contribute to these feelings of connectedness by staff, by students, by parents, because they can start to have a say in what you're doing. You know, a newsletter is a push out, it's a non-interactive medium. A note home in a kid's folder is a non-interactive medium primarily. You might hear back from just that one parent, but the advantage of a blog is it's all public, so now everybody can contribute, everybody can converse, everybody can talk about stuff. That might be good or not. Number seven, customer relations. So principals who are actively and publicly interacting with stakeholders, listening to their concerns, responding to those concerns and other questions, and generally being accessible are facilitating good customer relations. Branding. You're trying to create a brand for your school. As you know, schools have reputations. They have reputations within the local community, they have reputations with realtors, they have reputations with people who are trying to come and live and move in your community, and they're using the web to figure out what your school is all about. And so from a prospective parent standpoint, where you're trying to recruit families in to come to your school, a blog can be a powerful tool for branding your school and helping folks understand this is what we're all about in this building. And here's the good things that are happening and the good people that are working here, and here's why you should come. So you're building the brand of your school, and I don't think schools think enough about marketing and branding issues. Customer evangelists. You all have these people in your school building and in your communities. They're the teachers and the parents who other people listen to. Right? They're the people who, when they talk about your school, other folks listen. So what you want to do is you want to feed them information to talk about. Right? So if you have parents who you know are advocates of you and your building, if you regularly feed them information via your blog, they will spread that word to the other people who aren't reading your blog and who aren't interacting with the community, right? So a blog can be a great way of continuing to feed them stuff to talk about. You know that they're going to be your advocates. Give them something to use on your behalf and for your benefit. Thought leadership, we got principals out there who are throwing out, they're trying to lead their communities in terms of what's the future of education, where are we trying to go, and they're using their blogs as vehicles to do that. Sometimes you can use your blog for advocacy. So for example, let's say that state legislators were considering legislation that might negatively impact schools in some ways. The principal could go in and put their spin on that event and try and help the community understand what was occurring and to inform the local legislature about their opinion. And finally, some schools are even replacing their school website with blogs, and I'll actually show you an example of that later on in this presentation. So I think there's at least 12 good reasons why you might think about blogs as powerful tools for principals. Okay, so as I started thinking about the various reasons that principals might blog, I decided to go out and look around and say, well, how many principals are out there blogging right now? Guess what? Not many. For a variety of reasons, principals are busy, they got a lot of stuff to do. We came up with an initial number of about 6 to 8 that we could find using every search tool imaginable on the web. So I set a lofty goal for ourselves. We had this crazy harebrained project. Could we get 100 new principals blogging in 100 days? And so the purple sheet that you have here describes our new principal blogging project, where we're giving away free TypePad blog accounts to principals who ask for one. So share that with your administrators. If you have a principal, we can sell them on the idea of what some of the benefits of principals blogging are. We will give them a free blog account. They can try it out. And then once they do it for a while, we're pretty convinced that they'll stick with it from the benefits that we're seeing. We're about halfway there right now. We've got about 50 accounts that we've created. They're not all up and running yet, but we've got 50 folks that have signed up. There's our first guest speaker. So we'll hear from Jan in just a sec. And I've got a few central office people that are also have requested some blogs. We're going to hear from two principal bloggers today, Jan Borelli, who just Skyped me and said, hey, are we on? We'll connect with her in just a moment. She's from Oklahoma City. And Dr. Nancy Flynn, who's from St. Paul, she's here in the crowd, and she'll talk to you in a second. But let's get Jan set up here, and we'll talk to her for just a minute about our experiences. Hi, Jan, can you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Absolutely. Okay, do you have your camera?
I do have my camera.
Ooh, can we see you?
Well, here it is. Okay.
Hey, there she is. Okay. Hi, Jan. Now, here's the great part. I didn't bring my camera.
That's not fair.
I know. Okay, Jan, you're joining us from Oklahoma City. We're going to ask you a couple questions about principals blogging. You're a principal, right?
I am.
Okay, how long have you been blogging?
Let's see, 2.5 years.
2.5 years, great, okay. What do you blog about, Jan?
Well, I originally started when I was made principal of I felt like I was going to turn this school around, and I wanted to keep that record of what I was doing and how I was doing it, and the problems that I encountered to write a book about.
Jan, you back? I am. Hang on, we got to fix the audio again here. All right, we're going to try one more time.
Okay.
Hey, Jan.
Yes, I'm here.
There was some horrible, horrible static. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, great. Jan, tell us why you keep blogging.
Well, I love to write and of course, publish. And I have written a lot of things on my blog that have now been published by ASC India, NAESC, ASA, and about things that I've learned from being a principal. And one of my favorite aspects of being a principal, I love to mentor other principals. I've mentored 28 of my former teachers in principalship. So
wow.
it's a way of connecting with other principals and talking about what I've learned so that I don't have to make these numerous mistakes I've made along the line.
Okay. What's who do you think is your primary audience for your blog, Jan?
I think educators. There's a pretty big blog contingent here in Oklahoma that has part of that blog group, and a lot of Oklahoma's reads blog. And then I use NetCounter to track who reads my blog, and they generally come from Google searches in some aspect of education I've written on, and they come to me from PSPD or NAESC. And lightly from you.
Okay, last question. What kind of advice would you have for new principals who are new to blogging and are considering doing this?
Well, when you did your 100 principal blogging, as you know, I signed up to be one of them. And my Dr. Jan's blog at Blogger is really about things that are interest to me and things that I've learned. And the blog that I've gotten from you, I use that as a communication device with my parents and community. And I've learned that a very important thing that you need is to set up a structure for blogging. And on mine, I decided that my blog I would use for English, and since 66% of my students speak English as a second language. And right now I'm working to develop a structure where I'll put that out every Wednesday when we put out our Wednesday folders and have one of my ESLAs translate it. So I haven't really gotten the structure in place, but I think it's an important thing. Deciding how you're going to do it, when you're going to put it out, what kind of help you're going to get to use it. And then as far as my personal blog, I'd say be really careful about the people that you say things about, because my mom is really taking offense.
I love it. All right, thank you, Jan. We're going to let you go. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Bye.
Okay, Nancy, come on up here. So, everybody, this is Dr. Nancy Flynn, recently doctor, so we're pleased to call her Dr. Flynn now. Nancy is the principal of Randolph Heights Elementary in St. Paul. She's a new blogger and a prodigious blogger. So, Nancy, just talk for a minute about why you're blogging, what benefits you get from it, what the reaction of your community is, et cetera. And I'll put it up while we chat. Yeah.
Well, I just started like 2 months ago when Scott was talking about his 100 blogging, 100 days. I said, oh, sign me up. And when I started, I just could not believe how easy it was. Because this is what I would do. I'd send out a newsletter once a month to parents. And during the time, the 4 weeks before I sent it out, I had posted, oh, put this in the newsletter, put this in the newsletter. And then by the time I had doing the newsletter, I had way too much stuff, and some of it was really out of date already. So now, every time I come up with something that I say, oh, I need to send it out, I just get on and type it in, and it's instantaneously out there. Now, with my blog, I really pretty much, my audience is pretty much my parents and prospective parents. Because my blog is now linked to my website. And since we have school choice in St. Paul, parents are choosing what school their children are going to go to. And they use the web extensively. So I linked the blog under my principal office site on my website, and I tell them about everything from just the mundane to our events, just kind of anything that would put on my post-it notes, I would put on the blog. I'm not comfortable using the same blog for different audiences, and that's a topic I think I would love to take up with you sometime, Scott. Is, you know, when you give the 12, you say, you use with communication with staff and then with parents. Well, when I need to communicate with staff, I just email them because I have different groups. So every time I need a certain group to hear what I need to say, I just email. So I would love to learn how to use a separate blog, I suppose, for that. But you'll see, I just kind of...
We're sharing bandwidth with the rooms around us, and it's slow no matter what
but
we get here.
So I do put something in almost, well, I wouldn't say every day, but maybe 2 to 3 times a week. And usually it's just information. And I've learned how to put the pictures on. And so that's really fun. And I love taking pictures of all of our events. So as I take the pictures now, I put them on right on the blogging.
Good. So talk about what kind of benefits are you seeing from blogging?
Well, one of the things I really want to figure out how to do is see if how many hits I'm getting on.
Okay.
Because, see, I put this out in my first newsletter, and someone wrote back to me and said, oh, would you please link this to your website? I said, what a great idea. So I went to the website. And what I'd like to know is really, who's out there? I mean, how many of my parents are really reading this? And that's one of the things that I really need to find out. And I need to maybe put out some sort of a survey or something to see if actually people are reading it. Because I'm thinking, if I'm getting a lot of people really reading this, maybe that newsletter will kind of go by the wayside. Given the population that I have at my school, relatively speaking for St. Paul, it's relatively affluent. And most of our students do have access to a computer and most likely, you know, high-speed internet. So I'm hoping that it does kind of replace. Now, this was one of the more, we're having another big event Thursday night, and if you can see this.
I love this picture.
This one.
It's coming, just these kids. So go ahead, talk away. Your picture pop up in a second.
Okay, well, we're having another big event. We're having our big Hmong New Year Thursday night. And the other, I put a little thing about our parking problems that we've had lately where our neighbors are not too tolerant of our events. Because we have hundreds of parents who come to these events. And the city parking is just not great. So that's from last year's Hmong New Year. And so I told them about, you know, the parking. We, you know, give these guys on our street some space because if you park too close to their driveway, they call police. So that was one of them. Yes?
Do you have any advice to the teachers?
I have media release forms. And I have my little cheat sheet right by the computer. These children may not have their pictures taken. And I just look really quick on the sheet and make sure that none of the pictures that I'm putting up there are any of the kids that are on my list.
You said a one-time shot at the beginning of the year. How do you
give
that out?
At the beginning of the year, we send a media release form to every child. And then they come back saying, I do not want my child photographed at any time. My child may be photographed but never use the name, and it's okay to photograph, you know, anything. So just the ones that say my child may not be photographed at any time, I just keep that right by the computer.
Okay, great. So what has been parent reaction?
Well, I'm still trying to find the parent reaction, because I've only been doing this for 2 months. I did find one person did say, please link it to the website, which I did. What I really need to do is there some way you can find out how many people?
Yeah, we'll take care of you on that part. So, yeah.
Because, so, you know, I may not be getting all that many. I'm so, putting it out in my newsletter, and I will again in December. And what I did do is I said to staff, I said, let me know if there's anything you'd like me to put on my blog. Now, one of them gave me, a lot of these actually came from staff. They said, well, put on the Red Balloon books for school, put on that we have the Annette testing for gifted and talented, my gifted and talented specialist asked me to put that on. Someone asked me to put on about the book sale. So they give me information that they want to go write out to parents. And I just put on the blog.
Not that familiar with blogging in our district at all, but is your point really well
Well, it seems like everything's still there.
Yeah, it's on there. So, see, she's archiving by posts. So as she puts them up there, there's a link. And then after a while, they get archived by month. So you can go back and say, you know, what happened in November, et cetera. So, yep, it's all set up for automatic archiving, right? Yeah, we can turn that on. We could turn on a search for Nancy, yep, and have that done. The other thing that we can do is, notice that she doesn't have comments turned on right now, but she could turn on comments for a particular post, so she could actually solicit somebody's opinion on something, and people could put their comments on there. And so some of the principals have decided to turn comments on, some of them keep them off, some of them turn them on selectively because they're concerned about the time it takes to monitor the comments and all that stuff. So we let our principals pick that as it may. Nancy, talk for just a second about, you know, in the busy life of a principal, one of the concerns, of course, is time. How do you think this fits in?
Well, this is so easy. All I have to do, I have a bookmark. So I just go to bookmark and type it in. And I usually have a picture somewhere. And if I want to see it, it's another thing. It literally took me, I don't know, 3 minutes to put that on.
Get your page done for the year. I'm going to try and get the front page done for the year. And I still have something I know that is out of date on the website and the front page. But it's so much more time consuming to do a web page than a blog. I mean, it's the difference. When Scott first talked about blogging, I thought, oh my gosh, I can't keep up my web page. Like, how am I going to add this? But this is completely different on the web. It's just so much easier, so much faster.
Okay. Let's do this, because I think this might be useful. let's field some general questions about principles blogging, and then anybody who wants to go, feel free to go. And for those of you who want to stay, we'll actually show you how easy it is to post to one of these, because I think a lot of you have not blogged and don't recognize just how easy it is to do. So we'll do that at the end, and we'll show you how easy it is to log in, post something to the blog, and have it show up. Okay, so we'll do that. So let's just do some general questions about principles, blogging, etc., and then we'll go from there. So yes? That's a good question. You'll have to talk to your tech folks about how your blocking mechanism works. Yeah, and you have, you know, school districts get blogs mixed up with social networking tools too. So a lot of people think of MySpace as a blog, and MySpace has a blogging function, but it's a lot more than that. But they sort of call MySpace a blog, and it's really much more than that. I think the aspect about these new Web 2.0 tools is whether they're blogs or wikis or podcasts or social networking tools or whatever, is that, you know, we can lock them down or try to lock them down or contain them all we want within the school day, but bottom line is the kids then go out and they just use those tools on their own at home, which is fine, right, but we're also using our opportunity to educate, right, and to teach kids about how to use those tools responsibly when we lock them down within the school environment. So one of the issues becomes is how do we expose kids to these tools in ways that are safe and appropriate, right? And then two is, how do we tap into the power of these tools, right? Because the rest of society is figuring out that these tools are valuable and powerful and useful and relevant, and they let us do things. And if we're shutting them down for kids, are we also cutting off our own noses to spite ourselves? And we could actually tap into the power of these things, like corporations are, and government agencies are, and private individuals are, etc. So those are sort of the two things I think about when I hear people say, well, we're locking down blogs, is what do we do with students, and what are we doing to ourselves when we do that? Right, but we don't shut off the internet entirely for kids, right? We figure out ways for them to access the good parts. So can we do the same thing with blogs?
When you filter by that particular bias, you pretty much have to filter out the whole thing and then just allow the good parts.
Right. That is the hard part. Okay, yes, and filtering is a whole other session. So we could talk about that another time. So yeah, question. Oh, a lot of the blogs are actually national commercial systems, so you can get a free blog at Blogger, you can go to a system like a Typepad, you can host your own using a tool like WordPress. I don't know if ASPs are providing their own blogging tools within as part of like website solutions. For those who are getting your websites, for example, through Tize, it might be interesting to ask them what kind of blogging functions they have, etc. So I think probably some are and some aren't. I don't know any off the top of my head. I'm mostly familiar with the national stuff. Yes?
One of the questions that I get is differentiating web exposure to email versus the blog.
Yep.
Especially for school principals or administrators who are sending information for a high school, and you can lock down your blog to be limited access. I mean, you can't have a blog.
Yes, you can password protect a blog if you want.
And you know, one of the things that keeps coming up is, okay, now it's just one more thing. So the question I have is,
absolutely. Yeah.
That's for teachers that we talk to, sometimes like, okay, I'll block internal, we'll control it one more time.
Right.
I think the urgency is the determinant, because if I need something, if it's urgent, I'm going to send an email because it's going to come right out there and read on the computer. With a blog, they have to think about, well, maybe I better check Nancy's blog today and see if she's putting anything out there for us, so that's that email right there. So
right.
That's what I
think that's important.
Absolutely.
You get caught up in the spin on blogging.
Absolutely.
There are appropriate reasons, like you're choosing.
Right, and you have to figure out, I mean, blogs have certain power that email doesn't, but it's not appropriate for everything, right? I mean, the blogs have the power of being public or having past posts easily accessible, right, as opposed to digging through your email and trying to figure out where's that last email that the principal sent me or whatever. You know, is that it's just there and they're easy to find. The other great aspect about blogs is that they facilitate conversations. So, you know, as a principal, even if I have a listserv with parents, I can send a message out to parents via email, and I might hear back from a couple of them. They might reply to my email, and they might reply with something good. But on a blog, if they do it on a comment instead, not only do I see their reply, but so can the rest of the community, and somebody else can respond to their comment, and pretty soon we have a community-wide conversation occurring that would never occur with the email, which is more of a one-to-one communication in that respect, as soon as the parent communicates back. Now, you may or may not want that, but if you do, the blog is the kind of tool that would facilitate that, whereas an email listserv or an email would not, right? So the power of blogs also can be their downfall, depending on what your message is and what kind of communication or non-communication you want on a particular topic. So, yes?
Tied into that is, can you subscribe to the blog? In other words,
yes. Absolutely. Yes. 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 So what she's talking about syndication tools where you can literally subscribe to the blogs and have them come to you. So I will open up a new tab here. And for example, here's a syndication tool. We'll just pop this up real quick. So when you find blogs that you like, you can subscribe to them, and rather than having to go visit each web page individually, each blog web page individually, you can have them all come to you in one place, and you can see which ones have been updated, which ones haven't, etc. So for example, NetVibes, which is one of the two blog aggregators that I recommend, and it's public. So for example, here are all of the principal blogs that we've got up and running so far, right? And I can see them all listed here. And I can see who's posted, who hasn't. So here's a new one from the Holy Rosary Ram blog. Here's a new one from Plymouth Creek. Here's three from Nancy. You get the idea, right? So I can see them all on one page. So that's really nice. And they're not clogging up my email inbox either. But when I decide to go check out my blogs, whatever they may be, whether there's one or 10 or 15, they're all coming in a central location. The reason I like NetVibes is because it has tabs across the top. So this is my principal blogs one. I have one for tech leadership stuff, one for education stuff, etc. So, okay. Any other questions about administrator blogs? Yes?
Is there a directory to the group that you don't want to use? You can point our principals to a specific
example of whatever. Yes, absolutely. So, on my TIES 2006 webpage, you'll see that under the blogging administrator section, I've got a link to the PowerPoint I just had. Here's some different example blogs, so you can click on some of those. You could point principals to those. Here's a link to the principal blogging project itself, which is where you would go to sign up for a blog, where a principal would go to sign up for one that we're giving away. And then here is the list of blogs that we know about to date. So it would be an expanded list beyond those 7 or 8 that I just gave you. So you're welcome to just peruse and see and show. Yes, and I think models are important. So if you can help principals understand how other principals are using them in different ways, that helps. So on the principal blogging project homepage here, it says download and read the information packet. And that information packet includes more detail on those 12 reasons that I articulated on why a principal might consider blogging. So that might be a good thing to hand your principal. You know, it's like 4 pages. It's short and sweet. And say, look, read this over. If you think that after reading this you might want to blog, guess what? You can get set up with a free one, you know, through this project, and Castle will be glad to set you up with one. So, okay, and then here's the list, our running list. You can see the ones in red were the ones that we found out ahead of time that already existed before we started, or that popped out of the woodwork after we got started. I think we've identified about 18 principal blogs right now that are up and running that are not part of our project. We're about to quadruple that, and we're halfway through our project. So we're kind of excited about that. So it's not a lot of principals when you really think about it. 125,000 schools in the U.S. alone. We're trying to get 100 of them blogging in addition to the 20 we already know about. So, yes, sir. No, we'll go push back beyond 100. Our goal is just to get 100 in the first 100 days. So, yes?
I work in technology.
And, yep.
And one of the things that I always hear from teachers is that they're all, they always talk about collaboration, but they don't have time.
Uh-huh.
And that's the thing I always hear, we don't have time to collaborate.
Right, we don't have time to collaborate.
Would this facilitate that?
Yes, I think a blog could facilitate collaboration, depending on how you use it. You have to think about, you want to give everybody permission to post to the same blog, and they could have conversations on it, where they could then access that at any time. So yes, that could be a tool. Any last questions before we do a quick demo of how easy it is to post to one of these things? Yes? For the principal blogging project? No. No, we'll keep it up and running just as absolutely long as we can. So it's all free. Okay, for those, please leave your clickers here. You can just throw them on the back table if you're leaving. For those of you who are staying, here's how easy it is to blog. So I click on, I go to the TypePad address, right? So maybe I have this favorited or bookmarked. I don't know why our connection is so slow here. We'll close some stuff. Nancy, okay. So you can see you might have more than one blog. I have several. I just started a blog in August, so I'll say begin a new post. Yes? Oh, is it cut off? Oh, my head. Say move your head. Move your big head, Scott. All right, how's that? Okay, so I go to the website, right? It remembers my login and password from before, so I just say begin a new post. Think send a new email, right? So you click on send a new email, you click on begin a new post. Up pops a little web page. Again, it's just like sending an email. So you just wait for the form to pop up here. And again, I'm sorry that our connection's so slow. I'm not sure what's going on. I'm even plugged in with the cable. All right, so title. This would be analogous to the subject line for your email. So I type in here, live at Ties. Now, if I want, I can give it a category. So I could give it different categories. So for example, I'll give it the blogging category, because one of the ways you can archive is by category as well as by date. So here's all the categories related to first grade. Here's all the categories related to special school events. Here's all the categories related to whatever. Thanks. Please don't forget to leave clickers on the back or in your chair, so that would be helpful. And then I just go to the post body here, and I say, whatever I want here. And I can format some of that, so I can make that bold in italics. I can make this a hyperlink if I want. Okay, and whenever I got my text all ready, then I just go down here. I decide, do I want people to be able to comment on this post, yes or no? And I say save. That's the same as send email. It is now posting this to the website. So here it goes. So it was just that easy. You log into the website, just like you would open up your email program. You would click on make a post, just like you would click on send an email. Or create a new email. In the title line, it would be just like the subject area of your email. And then in the body, you would type whatever you want to type. And then instead of hitting send, you hit post to the web. And then as soon as this web thing finishes, we'll be ready to go. So, but that's about how long it takes. So that's why Nancy said it's now easier for her, rather than giving it to somebody and say, stick this in the next newsletter, put this in the next newsletter, it's just as easy for her to just type it up and send it and put it on the web itself instead. So we've got teachers using this. So for example, teachers will use this with their class, where they're posting messages to their kids, they're posting messages to their family. So I know a lot of teachers, they're sending, instead of doing monthly newsletters or weekly newsletters on paper with their parents, they're now doing it on the blog instead. Parents can go back and see old posts, etc. I've got grade level teams are doing it together, so have like a fifth grade team blog where all together they are blogging, and they just sign their names under each post so they can keep track of the whole grade level team activities, and all the kids can keep track, etc. We've got central office blogs where, for example, all the central office administrators are contributing to the same blog with news and information about the district and what's happening, et cetera. So everybody's chiming in there. Okay, it's now up there. So if I go to the blog, we should be able to see it. So lots of different creative ways to use it. As you see, there's the post. It's on the web. It's ready to go. And if I want, I can click on comments, and I can add my comment to it, and we can start a conversation. And for those of you who haven't seen blog comments before, here's one. We'll go like here. And you can see that under my post about what if the feds gave a laptop to every kid, I've got a bunch of comments under it where people are chiming in from all across, and we're having that conversation back and forth about is that really a good idea, yes or no, and are your budget numbers correct? So anyway, so that's the idea, and that's about how long it takes to get up there.
Less time,
because you probably have a better connection than we do here. Okay, yes? Yes, part of the sign-up form is we ask what your school colors are, what do you want your blog to be named, etc. So, yep. And then once we sort of go through the initial wave through January, then we're going to go back and start working on headers to make them even more visually attractive than they are now. So, other questions?
Is there anything
that a website can do that a blog can't? Yeah, it gives you more control over page formatting. Blogs are really sequential, right? The newest thing bumps the next one down, the next one bumps that one down, and so on. So there are some, you have some more flexibility in that regard. So, but you can do a lot with blogs if you get a little creative. Yes? Yep. Yes, you can upload movies and graphics, and you know Nancy's been posting pictures, et cetera. Yep, and it'll take multimedia files. Absolutely. Any last questions? Okay, thanks. We hope that you or some of your administrators start blogging with us. Thanks for coming to our session. If you have further questions, get in touch. Leave your clickers with us on the way out. Thanks. Enjoy the second day of the conference.
That's it for this podcast. If you'd like to know more about CASEL's nationally acclaimed Graduate School Technology Leadership Program, its resources for school leaders and university educational administration programs, or any of its other activities, please visit the CASEL website, www.schooltechleadership.org. If you'd like to learn more about Dr. McLeod or access the various resources that he makes available to K-12 and post-secondary educators, please visit his website, www.scottmcleod.net, or his blog, www.dangerouslyirrelevant.org. Thanks for listening.